Well, I want to start this morning with a scripture. How many of you know that's a great place to start? Ecclesiastes 3. We're going to be in the book of Joshua, but I'm going to start with Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck out what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. I'm so grateful that I know that this word is from the Lord because Pastor Daniel pretty much just preached my message. Thank God, because you just never know, right? But I believe God wants us to enter some new seasons this morning. And that can look a lot different to different people. I've got a friend who just had another baby and they are struggling. And they're living paycheck to paycheck, and they don't know where their provision is going to come from, except for they know that provision will come from God. But they're in a season of struggle, and they're praying for a season of breakthrough. I've got another friend who is unsure about the timing of God. He feels like God is calling him to do something, to step out in a way that he's not done before, but he just doesn't know, and he's struggling to hear from the Lord, but he's praying for a new season of clarity and direction. You don't know what the future is going to be like. And as a church, you know, if you haven't been here on the last few Wednesday nights, you might be missing it. Because God has been moving, and that's not just something, you know, the pastor always says that type thing. Like, we have been having incredible services where God is moving. And I don't know how long that's going to last. You never know what God is going to do. But I'm praying that maybe this is a time where God just, in his sovereignty, has decided to move. Does anybody want that? There are things that we get ourselves into. I know I can relate to that, right? And there are seasons that we can even pray into regarding the promises of God, but there are also seasons that are just ordained by God. And I want to look at one of those type seasons in the book of Joshua chapter 1 this morning, at a moment in time where God says, it's time. It's time. But you also have to see that the children of Israel had to rise up and take what was before them. Because that's generally how God works. He partners with you to make things happen. He partners with you. We often hear the phrase, leave it in God's hands. And why this is true and biblical in a statement of faith, it is not true and biblical in a statement of laziness or giving up. In other words, we have no excuse for being to not do anything. The season that's in front of you might take a lot of work. It might take a lot of growth, a lot of faith, a lot of prayer, sacrifice, stepping out and relying on God. But I believe God is saying, church, it's time to step into a new season. A new season. And now maybe you feel like you are in a new and great season already, but I want to encourage you to charge forward in the promises of God that are laid out before you. And as we begin to look at our passage this morning, I want us to realize that we live in a season of promise. You always live in a season of promise if you're looking forward to what God has promised you already. This morning, let's take it. Let that settle in. Do you want to take it this morning, church? Let's read in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 6 through 9 to start out. 6 through 9. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. I'm going to stop right there. Do you know you have an inheritance, church? You have an inheritance. That wasn't even in my notes. I feel like someone needs to hear that. You have an inheritance and you need to take it. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm getting excited about what the Lord's about to say. As we begin our study, I want you to take a moment and think about what lies before you. What lies before you? What promise, or in a sense, promised land, has God been leading you to that you haven't taken hold of yet? What season are you maybe ready to come out of? Amen. Or what season are you ready to come into and lay hold of the promises of God? And as you contemplate that, let's turn to our first point, the promised land. Now, this in our application today is what God has laid before you and or is in his word promised to you. How many of you know you can read through the Bible at the promises of God and those are for you? The promises of God are for you. Now, we know the promised land is actually heaven for us. This is not our home. We're going to a much better place. But there are promises that we need to take hold of and step through in our lives. There are promises we need today. One might even say that we're taking ground for the kingdom until the king comes back and takes it all. And in light of that, we note that even though the children of Israel begin to take the promised land here, it's not fully taken until the reigns of King David and King Solomon. And I want to mention that because we have to realize that we can set the footing for future generations to finish the tasks that we have not. We can set the footing. You might not be able to accomplish everything. You might not be able to save the entire valley, but God knows your kids might see that through. And you set the stage for them to take and see that through. Now, this is a promise that they had in our story, they had known. Their parents had known it. For 400 years, they had known it. God had told them that they would be in bondage, but church, God told them that it would come out of bondage. As you come out of your bondage, you step into what God has for you. I'm going to say that again because some of us need to come out of bondage this morning. As you come out of bondage, you step into what God has for you. There are often promises in our lives that up to this point we haven't been able to step into. There can even be promises for a family that might be passed down to the next generation because someone didn't step in to take it. But just because your parents refused to walk in the full promises of God, just because your family hadn't done it up until now to get out of that bondage, to walk in freedom, doesn't mean that you can't. In fact, you are called, that is part of your promise, to walk it out, to take it. A good illustration of this is the words, promises, prophecies that are over our valley and over our church. I love the fact that, first off, I just love that Pastor Todd is an awesome guy and he blesses us so much. But one thing he said this morning was that he was married here. You see, there's history in this church of what God wants to do. And I want to lay hold on those things this morning because I want to see them through. If you haven't heard the prophecies that God wants to do over this place, then I encourage you to find an older person that has been here for a while and listen. Because it's encouraging. Church, God wants to move. God wants to move. I believe God is waiting for a partnering with his people. Do you want to partner with the Lord this morning? There are still people here that remember what is to take place. And in the same way that the children of Israel looked back on the promise given and looked forward on the promise to be had, we must decide now to take it. Take the promise of our valley. Take the promise of our church. Take the promise over your family and take the promise over your life, and you take it. Take it. Verse 2 in the same chapter says, "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel." The Jordan was a river. But we need to realize that God calls us to arise. God sometimes says to wait and be still, but he also says to arise. He says to arise, go over this Jordan. Now, the Jordan was in flooded conditions, so that was going to take some faith just to start. But I want you to point out, it says this Jordan. Scholars think that they were in view of the Jordan River. There will always be difficulty in front of your promise. Sometimes you have a very good view of your difficulty. Can you say amen to that? Sometimes you're camped in front of your difficulty, but there is a promise on the other side. Do you want it? Now, we can settle for what's on this side of the river. Israel could have done that. We can settle for what's on this side of the river, but there is a promise to be had on the other side if we rise up and take what God is calling us to. God uses us to take the land. God uses us to take the land. Often, watch this, often that difficulty is there, so it's not easy to go back. So it's not easy to go back. That thing you're struggling to do or to let go of, to step out of, is really best if it is hard. Because you can't go back. You have to let it go. And your faith is increased because you have to rely on God. You have to rely on God. Now, the land is described here in the book of Deuteronomy and other places as flowing with milk and honey. And without getting onto all the definitions of that in our context here, God wants to bless you more than just provision. I believe that. He promises that he will provide, and I sometimes say this to myself, to my friends, God's going to provide for me to eat something, to have clothes of some type, and to sleep somewhere. Those are the things he promises to provide. He promises provision. But God wants to do more than that. He wants to do more than that. Watch this. Blessing is not based on what you have done, but entirely on what God chooses to do. Entirely on what God chooses to do. Church, do you have the expectation that God wants to move? The expectation that God wants to move. In verse 3, it says, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you as I said to Moses." Every place, that doesn't mean anywhere. That doesn't mean that we go down to the bank and we begin to walk around it. I wish it worked like that. But watch this. Every place means the fulfillment of promise. So it's like this. What I have given to you and you step into is yours. What I have given to you and you step into is yours. There is a promise with your name on it that you are meant to step into. And that's for every single person in this room. Every person watching online, there is a promise that you are meant to step into. Now, that phrase in the verse we just read, have given, it's past tense. That means it's already done. So what is before you in your eyes has already been done in God's eyes. Has already been done in God's eyes. And you can take comfort in that God already knows. He's already seen it done. So your freedom is done. Your promise is done. Your victory, church, is done. But watch this in verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. I think it's important to see here that God often uses markers. So often we want a step-by-step plan so much that we refuse to even take one step. I'm preaching that to myself. God likes to point out a marker and say, go. That takes some faith. He gives a map and he gives a direction, but we've already been given how to walk. It's called the Bible. So if you were worried about that part, you already got everything you need. You got everything you need. He says, I've given you all the land before you, but I'm not going to have you so focused on your feet that you forget to look where you're going. So focused on your feet that you forget to raise your eyes up to see what the Lord is doing. You see that big mountain over there? Go there. You see that river? Cross it. In church, it's just a simple thing. We got to use common sense. That's a gift from the Lord, amen? Some of us have been gifted more than others. But God doesn't expect you to be perfect. I want you to rest in that this morning. Jesus makes us perfect. And that is reassuring. But also with that thought, some things just don't matter. We can take things so serious. But honestly, for the most part, God doesn't care about things like what side of the bed you're going to sleep on. Or what side you're going to lay on. Side sleeper, back sleeper. Do what is going to make what God has called you to happen the best and fastest. God just wants you to have rest. He wants you to rest in what he's doing. And in verse 5, it says this, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Man, that's a verse that I want in my life. It's a verse that I want in my life. But watch this. This is a promise to Joshua that we can apply today because the enemy cannot stop what God is doing for and with and through you. The enemy cannot stop it. But watch this. Do not act like he can. Do not act like he can. Do not act like he can. I'll tell on My daughter was playing with a young man the other day, and he had tears in his eyes and said that she hurt him, and she's 3, and he was, I think, 10. Sometimes, though, we can let things stop us that really shouldn't. Don't act like the enemy can stop you. God can't be stopped. You, in God, cannot be stopped. Now, Joshua at this time was an older man. And it doesn't matter how old you are, what you've done, what you feel like you are or aren't capable of. If God has called you to it, then rise up and take it. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Pastor, when he's here, he likes to preach on that thought in the New Testament that God will never leave us. And he says, God will never leave you, no, not ever, never, no, never, he will leave you. And that's so good. And, you know, I started writing a song a while back about that. Do you want to hear that phrase in music? Yeah? So see if you can remember this, because this just pops in my head all the time. I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave. I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave. I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave. Keep that with you. And in a time of trouble, you just sing out. If you can't sing, God is the only one listening. I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave. And you just keep that in your heart wherever you're going. Because watch this, the secret to Moses' success was God's presence. The secret to Joshua's success was God's presence. The secret to your success is God's presence. God always reminds you that he is with you when you're about to walk into a difficult thing. He cannot forsake you. There are some things that God cannot do, and that is one of them. He cannot forsake you. And I want to say this. There are two different ways we can look at the season that Joshua is stepping into. The first is that he is stepping into a difficult season, a season of war and of fighting, of faith and of failure. The season is hard. It's bloody. It's work. But the other way, we have to realize, is it's also a season of promise, of territory being taken, of blessing, provision, and abundance. Your outlooks matter, church. Because often your season of difficulty is in fact your season of promise. Let's say that again. Your season of difficulty is often your season of promise. Your success, like Moses, like Joshua, rests in the presence of God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Rise up and take it. Now, we've gone through the promise. But what does that look like? The Bible refers to it here as the success, the promise of success. And I want to ask you today, what is your measure of success? What is your measure of success? If it's anything you can buy or do on your own, it's faulty. Success is this: following the will of God for your life. That is how I will be judged. That is how you and I will both be judged. Following the will of God for your life. And sure, God might lead you to lots of finances and amazing things to accomplish all that he has for you, to give, to be a blessing in so many ways. And that is not in any way above the person that he asks to have nothing, and even that they give away. We have to, watch this, this is good. We have to make sure our standard of living is God's standard of living. It's easy to get our eyes off of what really matters. Men, we have to lead our families in this way. The promised land is spiritually minded. Don't get stuck in the physical. The kingdom of God is spiritually minded. Don't get stuck in the physical. Now, I pray God blesses us in lots of ways. I'm sure you guys can relate to me on this. I'd love it if my house didn't need quite so much work. If my cars didn't both need work, if I had enough toys to not work as much. But if that interferes with the promise of God on my life, then I have missed it. The promise of success should begin and end with the presence of God. The promise of success. But how are we successful? Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Observe what God has already spoken to us. He has spoken through his word. Do not turn to the right or the left. We said earlier that we're often looking so hard for what to do and where to go that we forget that God has called us just to go. Just to go. The parameters for a daily walk are God's word. It is from them we don't turn to the right or to the left. Church, if you are struggling to focus on what God has called you to, you need to be more in the word. More in the presence of God and in his word. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do accordingly all that is written in it, for then you will have your way prosperous, and then you will have success. How many want success this morning? This is not a prosperity gospel teaching. This is just the word as we're reading it. It says how to have success. So watch this. And this one I'm still working on, but it's a lot easier to not say things that I shouldn't if I'm always saying scripture. That's some practical wisdom right there. Write that down for your spouse later, right? It says, from your mouth, and that means to mutter constantly while studying or reflecting. And it reminds me that God's word is so often compared to bread. How many love some good bread? God's word is to be what you live on. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, so you need to put the word in so the word is coming out. To meditate, that means here to mutter. To moan like a dove, to growl like a lion, to mourn, to speak, to plot. First, it's constant. You ever heard a dove moaning? It's just constant. Have you heard a cat that just does not stop purring and growling? It's constant. But even more than that, watch this, church. This is amazing. Sometimes we speak the word like a dove in the peace that we need to be walking in. And sometimes we growl the word like a lion that means business to the enemy. And sometimes we go through things in mourning that we just speak the word through. You speak the word to get through it. Sometimes we just speak the word out and declare what is fact and to what is before, behind, and all around us. And sometimes we pray out the word in a plot against the enemy because it is mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Do you appreciate the application of the word this morning? We are to dwell in the word night and day to obey it. It says, then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. Church, you won't have success without living in the parameters that God has set in his word. But thank the Lord, he has given a way. That word prosperous is to be wise. Wisdom is found in obeying the word of God. If you want to be wise, follow his word and follow his voice. The Lord then keeps reiterating himself several times, and we see it again in verse 9, where he says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Church, I'm going to encourage you this morning to be strong, to be courageous. The source of Joshua's confidence was that he was chosen by God. Chosen not just to lead, but to fight and make war. And his faith led him to victory. With every duty comes the power to do it. Church, you are chosen by God. With everything God puts in front of you comes the power to do it in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. A theologian once wrote, courage is the supreme requirement of God's people. Because how many can you relate that God seems to just always be asking us to do things we don't want to do? The Apostle Peter writes, add to your faith courage. And this is not a calming word, but it is a calling to conflict and a calling to victory. It is an opposition to fear, opposition to conflict, opposition to failure, and opposition to shame. We cannot easily, though, count the fear nots in the Bible. Church, fear not. To be strong and courageous means also to be vigorous. And it's not as much a character trait as it just is an action. To be alert, to be prompt, to be ready for action. And inside of that, it denotes the type of character required. To be strong, to be courageous. Another theologian said this, men never act so skillfully except in so far as they allow themselves to be ruled by the word of God. Verse 11 says, this. Joshua is commanding his officers, and he says, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days, you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land to which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. It says to prepare provisions. And this wasn't just as a whole. This was individual families prepared to cross over. As individual families prepare, the nation prepared. The church today prepares as individual families prepare. Church, are you preparing? Preparing wasn't just packing things up. It also says provisions, which means food. Watch this. It's interesting to remember at this time, they were not allowed to collect more than one day's worth of manna. That's the thing that God was giving them to eat every day, which was a miracle. So they had to collect other food. They started preparing. They prepared for the manna to stop. They prepared for the miracle of God to stop because they were walking into a new one. They prepared to walk out of one method that God had been using into a new method because God wanted to do something new. It's a new season. From one miracle to another. In church, we can't be afraid to lose what we have now if it's going to hold us back from what God has in store. God told them to prepare. And in doing so, watch this, he started developing in them a level of personal responsibility. Ouch. Personal responsibility. There is preparation involved in miracles on our end. And that is just getting ready to receive. Getting ready to receive. And that's why we have to be strong and courageous. We have to expect a miracle to happen when we step out of what we've been depending on, to depend on God now, to step into what he has planned. Make your heart ready. Don't get stuck looking at your promise from across the way, church, or watching someone else live in what you were called to. You see, in our story, the enemy was living over there. Don't get stuck watching someone else walk in miracles, walk in provision, walk in the blessing of the Lord when you are called to that. Verses 12 through 15. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given you, your brethren, rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. It took a unified Israel to take the promised land. The tribes that were already experiencing the inheritance already in a great season didn't stop there. They crossed over to help their brothers and sisters take hold of the promise that God had for them. It says, until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you, until they also have taken possession. While you're in a place of rest, church, fight for others around you to enter that same rest. We are all in different seasons so we can help each other in need. And that should be without question. And it's not an enabling. It's not being a crutch. It's partnering with someone that is also trying to lay hold of the promises of God. We can help each other to experience breakthrough and overcome. But watch this, it takes a whole nation, it takes a whole church to enter into what God has for a whole church. It takes a whole church. But we must pray, church, this is important, for unity. Unity. In the same way Israel was called to prepare, The whole nation came together to fight. We must come together. What does that look like? We must forgive each other. We must bless each other, love each other, care for one another. We must fellowship with one another. Church, there is power in unity. The word says that the Spirit of the Lord dwells with brethren that are in unity. Do you want the Spirit of the Lord here this morning? Verses 16 through 18. They answered Joshua, saying, "All that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Wherever or whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." We see here that as a whole, they had decided to take the promise together. Every family, every individual, they had Joshua's back. If the leader of your own home knows that they have, that you have their back, or the leader of your church knows that you are all in, that's one less thing to worry about. That's one more thing that they can count on. And the best thing you can do for your pastor, the best thing you can do for your leader is to follow and fight alongside. To follow and fight alongside, because there is a promise that's waiting to be taken. There is a promise, and it's time to rise up and take action. Are you with me on that, church? Then I'm going to ask you to rise up right now. If you'll stand across this place, I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. And I'm going to open up the altar for those of you who are just right now moved by the Spirit of God to respond. That could be just for a desire, in a desire for God to move. That could be a desire to pray for unity in our church and in our valley with all the other churches. The desire to see leaders of homes, leaders of churches rise up and love the church like Christ loved the church. So if that's you, I'm going to invite you to come. If that is just on your heart. And then next, if you are wanting or needing of a new season in your life, you are ready, you are done to get out of where you have been and you want someone to pray through with you in a unified way to step into the promise God has for you, then I'm going to ask you, you are welcome to come and we will pray with you to your new season. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let shame hold you back. God is going to move in your life. Or then, if you want to respond specifically to this message, that you want to be a better leader of your home. You want to be a better leader at work or at church, wherever you are, and you realize that true success in a Christian's life begins and ends with the presence of God, then I want to invite you to come. And finally, if there is any other need for healing, for provision, for blessing, just to accept Jesus for the first time or to renew your heart, your mind, your life, to renew your statement of faith, then I'm going to invite you to come. And let's rise up as one church and take the promise that God has for us. He's not through. He's going to move. And let's be a part of what he's doing. Amen? Amen. I encourage you, just begin to worship. You're welcome to come forward to see what God wants to do. We're just going to take a little bit of time. If you see people up front, begin to pray for what God is doing in them, that new season they might want.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.